the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Hello, this is your host, Athena Melville, bringing you another interview this October of 2014. Dr. Maria Drishkova is my guest. She is the creator of several online educational communities, including the Natural Math Network and Math Future Interest Group. She has an MS in Applied Mathematics from Tulane University and a PhD in Mathematics Education from NCSU. Her studies have been supported by grants and published and presented nationally and internationally. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a great pleasure to have you here with me to talk about what you've been doing. Can you share with me and our listeners what inspired you to develop these online communities?
Yes, I started working face-to-face with people, with teaching classes at colleges, at universities, and working with groups called math circles, just organizing local groups, and doing workshops for parents and teachers. So all this led me to seek what other people are doing, and that happening online, of course, when you seek your colleagues. And then I noticed something interesting. I was doing a presentation about online projects. I was invited to present at a group called Future of Education. And there isn't all that much going on as far as communities go for mathematics. Now it's much better. Back then in 2007, 8, 9, there was much more going on in science than in mathematics. And so I started to be much more purposeful about just finding people who do things online, cataloging, so to speak, who does what where, and also bringing people together and also organizing what was missing, just different types of groups and activities. Go ahead.
No, I'm getting a bit of an echo, and I'm wondering if you're doing speakerphone.
I am not using a speakerphone. I'm using a regular cell phone.
So yes. I had asked you to tell our listeners what inspired you, and I think that was fairly clear.
Yes. One of big pains or problems of modern science is just loneliness of people, because it's the same technology that connects us, it also disconnects us now. And in particular, what was happening with mathematics education, and again, it got better, but it was a bit behind on forming online communities, I felt, compared to science or to social sciences. And so there were pretty strong teacher communities. As far as parents, not as much, and then researchers and practitioners, developers, that's a different story. So I wanted to see in mathematics education similar things to what was happening in technology or programming or computing or science, very robust, active communities, people doing things together.
Yes, making them more interactive, and so that it wasn't such a lonely process, and that math, the subject of math, was lagging behind the other subjects in this process. Is that Am I hearing you correctly?
That was my feeling, Athena.
Yes.
And there were some things that I just wanted to see, and they didn't exist yet. So, you know, when that happens, you just build things and make your own.
That's right. That's right. Well, I really enjoyed your interview with Dr. Melissa Kibb on algebra with 4 to 6-year-olds. But, of course, working in a Montessori environment, a child is introduced to geometry and algebra in concrete ways that prepare all of them, not just those that abstract early, to do well and understand geometry and mathematics. Have you had any experience with Montessori?
Yes, I'm actually quite a big fan, and I studied Maria Montessori's work in detail and her philosophy, and I adopted a lot of her ideas and principles, I would say, to what I do and develop. So it was interesting to see her principles interact with technology development in modern times and what people make of it, because there is a big research and development, well, framework or movement called embodied design. It's designing with the eye on human body of how we are in physical space. And so a lot of Montessori designs, even though they're very cerebral, they are very concrete and embodied. And now this design is happening with computer technologies as well as physical technologies.
Yes.
So I feel many people go back to Montessori ideals of design and re-examine them from new perspectives.
Yes, yes. I could feel that. It's just exciting and wonderful. Well, as a curriculum and developer and mathematics education consultant, do you find that the work of Piaget is still helpful in making assessments? Pardon?
Can you repeat this, please? I couldn't hear the question for a bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that as a curriculum developer and a mathematics education consultant, do you find that the work of Piaget is helpful in making assessments? It's mathematics, and you know, Piaget's idea was that you present these various games with the kids, and if they are still into concrete operations, you can very easily distinguish that. And if they've abstracted, so that you know they can, then you can also, you know, observe that. And so it's much easier then to move from presenting ideas and materials to the child with concrete material there, to having it be a pencil and paper where the child is able to hold the concept in their imagination. Do you understand? He would take 5 coins, and he would space 1 row of 5 so they were 1 inch apart. Then he'd take the other row of 5 and they would be touching. And then he would say to the child, which has more?
I studied Piaget, of course, and I feel his big, huge contribution to both research and development is in designing methods of analysis. At the same time, I find that a whole lot of interpretations of Piaget, or especially conclusions of his theories as implemented into practice, are not quite on par with what we know now. So, for example, this experiment, he has done quite a few, and in his mind, and in his writings that I read, it was about communication with the child. It's not that the children don't know which role is better. It's the way you ask about it. Once kids develop more mature communication techniques, you can ask in symbols or in words. However, for younger children, the same way of asking in symbols or in words makes very little sense. So the experiment, the example you used with spacing rocks, one very famous follow-up experiment was to repeat the same experiment with candy and to tell the kids that they are only allowed to take one row of candy, but they get to keep it. And when this experiment happened, they were very reliable early on at the age of 3 or so, much earlier than Piaget found, on picking the correct row with more candy in it, however it was spaced. At the same time, the same kids, the people who repeated Piaget experiment, following the Piaget procedure, got the same results, because if you ask in words and only let kids repeat in words, they construe the meaning every which way. They don't have the consistent belief or knowledge of what you mean by more. So this is very typical, and this is my take on Piaget. The methodology is interesting and still valid. Some of the conclusions people made of it has been refined since then. So, and what Piaget meant is that young children communicate in ways different from older children. So when you communicate with a young kid, you can communicate about quantities. You can communicate about groups, but you need this concrete, as you say, concrete hands-on ways and maybe some motivation, like candy versus rocks.
Yeah. Well, I understand you're saying that you feel that it isn't really communicating what he thought he was communicating with the children. Now, I've used Piaget's work not in language. I really believe that it's very different, but in terms of math, I feel like it's right on. The child does understand when you say which is more. If they think more means it takes up more space, they're never told they're wrong. You never say, oh no, you're wrong, because of course they're not wrong. You know, there is more space between the ones that are spaced further apart. So that wasn't, you know, that's not really, it's the conserving, you know, like knowing that there are five chips or blocks in both. It's the same if you pour water into a tall, thin container or a short, squatty container, both glass, and you pour the water into a measuring cup, and you hold it up, the child watches you, you pour it into the tall container, then you put the same amount of water in the cup, they're watching, you put it in the short squatty container, and you ask, which has more? Now the child that is still concrete will say that the glass that's tall, because the watermark comes up higher, has more than the short one. And you never say, no, you're wrong. But many children who are already concrete at a very young age will look at you and say, same. Because,
the experiment found for younger children, language is fluid. Now, about 20 years ago, people developed very hands-on and very concrete, no-word methods of working with babies and toddlers and pre-verbal kids and trying to find out what babies, toddlers, and young kids believe about the world, like conservancy. So it is interesting that children seem to conserve quantity at birth. Children seem to conserve length at birth. And for volume, nobody conserves that. People of all ages are really bad about judging volumes. So people who are older, and this is totally consistent with Piaget experiments, but the conclusions are different. It's not that young children don't conserve and older do. It's that older people, older children have, and you can experiment with it at home with your own kids and find it out, that when kids get older, they get this abstract reasoning going, and they use their abstract reasoning to judge what happens to volumes, to evaluate volumes. But grown-ups, all people are pretty bad about judging volumes in general. So it's hard, and it's a more abstract task. The same with area, by the way.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Don't have a good eye for which area is bigger. So
yes.
All the tasks that are for comparing length are pretty straightforward, and babies can do them, and grown-ups can do them who are not educated and so on. Anything about comparing areas is challenging for everyone, and so grown-ups have to use, or older kids use, abstract means to answer this question.
Yes, I been teaching for a very long time, and so I've done these Piaget evaluations with many, many children, and I've taught parents how to do them in parent-child growth workshops, and of course, mm-hmm. having four of my own, I also observed. But as I love mathematics, and as a young child growing up, I just loved it so much. And then when I was introduced to algebra and geometry, I couldn't believe that I was not getting it. And of course, this was as a teenager or high school. And then as I got older, I got into Montessori. Then I discovered, you were talking about the language, right? That for mm-hmm. me, a cube and a square, you know, a square and a cube were interchangeable words. They were, you know, it wasn't like one was a concrete six-sided object, you know, mm-hmm. and the other, you know, was a flat, you know, area of a square. Not until I experienced it in a concrete way, I had an aha. And then suddenly I could do algebra because it was the language that was a barrier, and it was not having had that concrete experience with the concepts. And that's why I'm such an adamant supporter, because of my own personal experience. But
what you bring up now is very beautiful to hear, and it may surprise people that experience with cubes and squares helps you with algebra, but it makes perfect sense if you think about it for a while, because algebra is what you just said. Look, what you just said was algebra, even though it was about shapes. Algebra is a way of seeing similarities in different things and about systemic variation. So a variable is something that changes just so, and variables interact just so. So what you just said is the square and the cube are similar. Well, yes, the variable there is the dimension, but this is the same thing. And when you experience it, click, algebra makes sense. And it feels magical, but it's not. It is how our minds work. And so people who work with physical objects or manipulative or their whole bodies. My colleague works with dance and mathematics.
Yes.
These people report this almost magical experiences. I once worked with a girl who had pretty severe learning disabilities. She was several years behind, even though in Montessori school it doesn't work like this, but it was a state Montessori.
Right.
And they had a Montessori whole school experience going with sequences, where younger kids were doing just A, B, A, B, beads, something like that, and older kids sequences of series, infinite sequences. So the whole school was doing it, and the girl could not carry on the sequence visually or by symbols. And so we worked with her, but she was a dancer, and I told her that symbols stand for dance movement. And then the transformation was incredible.
Yes.
She changed her demeanor. She was she straightened out. She was like one head taller when she was doing it. So she composed this very complex dance that repeated very reliably, so she could carry on the sequence. And she also had proportional reasoning there, like this part has to be longer, so everything that was 2, 3, and 5 now will be 4, 6, and 10. So she could carry on this incredible reasoning that was way beyond the current level and everything else. And she lost me a few times, had to explain, slow down and explain to me what she was doing with the sequences, all because she could do it with them.
Yes.
It's so algebra happened for her like that instantly because it was through physical space.
Yeah.
And so when you told your beautiful story about the cube and the square being the same, and when you said algebra, yes, of course it's algebra.
It's geometry and algebra.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the you know, solving for the unknown. You know, then that all makes sense when you realize that because in language you can find a lot of different ways to say something, and you can use metaphors but you know, the language of mathematics, you have to understand what a cube is if you're going to be able to understand what that little squared and cube symbol mean. You're going to be able to have to see those dimensions and work with them in order to do these problems. And I was so excited because, as I said, I really did love mathematics. And I've also seen that there are children. One of my sons, he went into the Montessori classroom, his first experience. He saw the bead cabinet. And it's called a bead cabinet. And it's the powers of 10, you know, there are beads, you know, 1,000 bead is in a cube, 1,000 cube, and then there's 1,000 beads hanging, you know, there. And then there's nine cube, and then there's nine strings of nine beads, you know, they're hanging next to them. And he just went wild. Whenever he would enter the classroom, he would be absorbed with these materials. And of course, he's a physicist and an engineer. While the other, his twin brother, he was very concerned about the psychological dynamic in the classroom. Now, he's a scientist too. He's a biologist. But his concerns were, I am concerned about my teacher. I think she's depressed. Oh, I'm concerned about this little fellow. He's making tombstones in the sandbox. Oh, I am concerned. And, you know, so they're all so different. My third son, Montessori environment, the teacher came running out. He was 3 years old, and she said, he did trinomial cube without an introduction. Well, trinomial cube is something you do in preschool or, you know, in early Montessori, and then you introduce it when you introduce algebra to the child. So it's just such so beautiful what is possible in mathematics with the Montessori materials and for every child. So, that you know, they all moved along, but one of them was just like, he understood it at the get-go. And, you know, he just went for it. But I think it's so wonderful, Maria, that you bring leaders in mathematics education, researchers, developers, and parents and teachers for projects and discussions of family mathematics and early algebra and individualized instruction and math games and a math club. I mean, that is so wonderful that you're bringing all of that to communities and you're doing it through the internet. Can you tell our listeners how they can get involved in the process of what you have to offer?
Okay. So there are many different ways to get involved. And I will name some. And if you want to get involved in some other ways, just contact us and we will talk. Because it's always a developing live community. So everything we do comes from members and their ideas. One way to just follow everything that's going on is to subscribe to the Natural Math newsletter. It's on the site naturalmath.com, and it comes out a couple of times a month, and we announce everything on it that is going on. Now, what is going on is we offer courses for parents, teachers, and math circle leaders. And the courses are open. Everything we do is open in Creative Commons, so people can participate and see what comes of it. We have books in the making, and we have one book out this year, a few more are coming out. So people can get the books and then communicate on the forums about the books, what experiments they do from that. And we help people start mathematical circles, sometimes through the courses and sometimes through basically individual coaching. So if you are interested in starting a math circle, mathematical circle, an informal group where you live, or if you want to have one started and don't know how, that's a big part of what we do. And then in the math future communities, we interview people, we create these open events with people who are leaders of projects, like the one you mentioned with Melissa. And we always ask people how can the general network, the bigger community, help them in what they do or what they want to do with the bigger community. So, for example, Melissa's big dream is to involve parents and teachers in research directly. So we can do a citizen science project together with the community, and this is actually something in the planning stages. But other people do other things, for example, run little courses or involve people in the development of software so parents can test games with kids and so on. Different communities do different things. The teacher communities, the teachers can communicate. So every event that we hold in Math Future, and we had more than 130 so far, these are project leaders who invent things and develop things and build their own communities, and everybody's inviting parents and teachers to do something with them. It's a pretty large network overall.
Yes, it's a
To summarize, get the newsletter, write us if you have different ideas, and follow these courses and events, and you can participate in all this adventure with children and grown-ups and everyone.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And now, if our listeners went to 3W's Mobius Noodles, MobiusNoodles.com. They would find a, they could connect with the newsletter on that site, couldn't they?
Oh, yeah. Mobius Noodles is a project under Natural Math, but it's probably our largest because many people are involved in it. So it has everything, yes, it has a newsletter. It also has a blog with people writing about their adventures, parents and math circles, the interviews with people. And you can connect with everything through there as well and find books and find all these other adventures I was talking about.
Right. And there's a contact on that website, too, where if people were interested in getting more information or asking you a question, there's a form and there's a and then there's a contact. A way to
there, there is a form where there are quite a few places have open emails where you can just email that. And there is a page there for speaking and events. So if you want to invite us to your group or conference, it has information about that as well. So we do quite a few events with different groups, and we try to support small groups as well as large groups. So, for example, this last month we were at BugFest, which is a big science event about arthropods, about insects and crustaceans at the local science museum. So that attracts, I think this year there were 35,000 people there. So we had a table and we did very active presentations there about fractals in nature. So that was a lot of fun, so a huge, big event.
Oh, yes.
And then earlier this month, we went to a local homeschool and play group with parents and just played with a dozen parents and kids there doing this early algebra, early calculus game. So and so on, so different types of events. So if you want to interact this way, that's also a possibility.
Oh, that's wonderful. I just love the website. I just really enjoyed the Mobius Noodles website. And it's a .com. And I so much of what you are providing is excellent support for those who homeschool their children. And or they like to travel. Like they like to, you know, their education is they travel, they don't really stay in one place all the time, and they take their children, but they want to have, you know, experiences in all of the academics for their children. This is perfect. So I just thank you for being a guest on Education Now. And I want to thank Cheryl Morris for leading me to Mobius Noodles and then to you. And when you say we, is there a huge group of you who started this, or are, did you have a co-founder? Aren't you the originator?
I founded Natural Math in a while ago. I guess the idea started in 1996, so it's been a while. We incorporated later. Mobius Noodles project happens with Elena McManaman. She's my co-author on that. Now, other publishing projects have a dozen more people who are making books, developing software, doing other things of that nature. Math Future has a group of people who are organizers of events. We also have a programming arm. Dmitry Dushkov, my husband, he's leading computer development, and he has some programmers working for him who do software when we do software. We have a person who does outreach with us, Kathy Cordero. She works on spreading the word and making the message understood, because sometimes we tend to be a bit technical and so on, and forming marketing for the product. And we have interns, kids and teens who work with us doing editing, writing, and development, game development. But there are circles within circles, so there are this inner circles of people who, for example, write books, and then other projects with whom we are friends and colleagues and collaborators of different nature, writing grants together, for example, or testing their ideas and materials. So people like Cheryl Morris, I consider her a part of the network. For example, she translates a lot of the ideas other people in natural math develop into the Montessori language.
Yes.
So using Montessori material to express the ideas. So
yes.
For example, we have this this toy called Multiplication Tower, where you build up the three-dimensional model of multiplication tables. It's very engaging for kids, and very young kids can do it intuitively with parents. So that's been very popular, and then Cheryl built a model like that out of the beads you were describing earlier.
Yes.
So it's a multiplication tower of Montessori beads, very authentic to Montessori, and yet it's a take on our activity.
Right. When the children make a matrix with me, a multiplication matrix, the beads are right there. And so they can see, you know, clearly that 3 times 5 is 15 in a concrete way when they put that 15 in the matrix. And so then working with the matrix, then doing math problems, it's just, you know, it's almost, some of the children have said to me, it's like magic, which of course it really is. Well, this has just been so delightful for me, and I'm just so excited. I'll tell you one thing, I feel that education today in this country especially, the buildings are huge. Many of them are just huge. And they're just mausoleums. They're just so difficult to even heat, let alone that they're so dehumanizing. So that I feel like what you're offering is really going to be beneficial for the future. It is the future. And I'm just so pleased to have you as a guest. And I thank you so much for your work. And I really hope this sounds good.
Thank you, Athena. And I hope this sounds good, too. And I hope we'll work together on helping the kids. That's what it's all about, to make mathematics their own. So I hope to see you at my future presentation sometime. So next meeting at my place, right?
Well, perhaps that would be good. What I'm really I work with homeschoolers, and so this is really exciting. I'm telling you that. But thank you again. And I'll say goodbye now, and you'll hear from me with the promotion, because I won't send it out without your approval.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you once again to Dr. Maria Drushkova for being my guest on Education Now and for all the wonderful work that she is doing. If you would like to connect with Maria and her work and the other people who are doing this fantastic work, you can just go to 3Ws.mobiusnoodles.com. That's 3Ws.mobiusnoodles.com. And there are links there to all the wonderful other projects that Maria started and is involved with, the Natural Math Network, the Math Future Interest Group, and so I hope you will take that opportunity. And now I'm going to say goodbye for now, and thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the child. Our shows are always listed on the Education Now Facebook page, and I hope that you'll join us there to make comments, and on the Education Now Google Plus page, where you can also join us to leave comments. Education Now is a production of the Hermeneutic Institute for Holistic Health and Education, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Education Now is a proud supporter of the American Montessori Society, which you can find on the web at 3ws.ams.org. Goodbye for now.
Are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know.